The question was asked, how does a person help himself prepare for marriage, becoming a better person? So the first point is just becoming a better person, learning how to better yourself. But usually that's not enough. That doesn't cut it. The difference between what we do before we get married and after we get married is huge, because everything we do before we get married, we have our own zone. You have your own space, you have time to chill out, you have time to regather your thoughts, and you have your own space. And in marriage, you have much less of that space. You're together for many hours of the day, and there's nowhere to run and hide. And that means that if you have a roommate that's driving you crazy, well, you leave to the base medrash. You have a whole life that's different than this roommate. If you have a spouse that's driving you crazy, there is no life. That's life. Everything else dances around that. Where that really leads us is that one of the points that we really have to work on is our patience and our willingness to accept people that are different than us. And whatever you do is not going to be enough for marriage. At the end of the day, marriage is going to be different than anything you've encountered beforehand. But what a person can start working on is being non-judgmental, working on the habit of not criticizing, working on the habit of complimenting. Those are the three key factors. Non-judgmental, not criticizing, withholding criticizing when you're right. We're talking about situations where you're 100% right. It's not a question of right or wrong, but criticism is the great detractor of marriage when you're right. No one's discussing when you're wrong. And being able to compliment. Those are the great weaknesses of men in marriage. We don't know how to compliment, and we think that if we're right, then the woman shouldn't take it personally. But I didn't say anything personal. You did leave the milk out of the fridge last night. I didn't say you're a dunce. I just said you left the milk out of the fridge last night. But to her, it's personal. And so a person has to realize that these are things that in our day-to-day we don't encounter. All the other midot you'll work on are great. One person has to work on being less angry. Another person has to work on being more sensitive. The third person has to work on being more polite. Fourth person has to work on personal hygiene. I've had many husbands tell me that the first week of marriage, their wife notified them they don't get to bed before they take a shower. And their wives were 100% right. I was friends with them beforehand. But I was a friend, So why did he shower once a month? That's not my problem. He's very holy. He doesn't shower. He only goes to mikvah. What can he do? He doesn't ever wake up early enough to get to the mikvah. Fine. So he gets to mikvah once a month. Fine. As a friend, you could talk from a distance. Everything's great.
This guy told me he's like a very good marriage. It's one where both the wife and the husband, and granted this has to go both ways, are thinking, what can I do make the other person happy?
That formula works provided that you're willing to continue that formula when you don't feel it's reciprocated.
Right.
That's the key. Meaning everyone enters marriage with that thought. I hope. The problem is that somewhere along the lines, you start feeling like, I'm doing so much, and I'm getting back so little. And this isn't fair, and this isn't right, and no one else is getting what I'm getting, and I don't deserve this, and I'm going to have to put up with this. And that's where most people start shifting. And that's the natural sequence of marriage, where you walk in, and you're very positive, and you want to give. And then slowly you start feeling, hey, I'm not getting enough in return, and this isn't fair. And that's where it evolves into the bitterness and the... Then it starts changing, and that's where marriage stops being sweet. When a person starts thinking about why do I have to put up with this, and I don't have to put up with this, and this isn't fair, and the other side should have been more considerate, and I'm so considerate, and I could quote you, I have letters of stories where if you heard the stories, you'd go out of your mind. You'd side with the one presenting the story 100%. You would say he is 100% right or she is 100% right. No one has to put up with that. We're talking about a couple where the husband picks up his bag and flies out to the Midwest. And till today, they got divorced. But I believe that the wife was wrong. The husband was dead wrong. But the marriage didn't have to end. Meaning, it takes one to tangle. The wife should have packed her bags and gone after him. He offered her to come. Is that the way you run a marriage? You're crazy. He is crazy. He's wrong. You don't do that to a wife. You don't tell her two months into marriage, I think I'm going to get another degree in the Midwest. He's wrong. Fine. I'm not saying he's right. But the marriage didn't have to end. Because when one is wrong, that doesn't have to end the marriage. There's a saying one of the wise men once said. When you love, so then a spider web can hold you two together. One spider web. How does it hold you two together? Because when you love, you know that if the other side pulls, I move forward. And when I pull, the other side moves forward. Meaning, there's this tangle. If I stand here and say, you have no right to pull, stop you pulling, bang, that's it, the spider web's gone. The key to marriage is being able to move when the other side's pulling. So yeah, the formula you're saying is great. It's the perfect theory. The problem in practice is that you feel like they're doing all the pulling, I keep coming after them. And that's natural to feel that way. Sometimes it's partially true. There are times in life where you are being dragged. The other side is pulling more than you are.
Why? This is how, instead of like acting on that, like, oh, now I'm going to stop caring, you just say, oh, you just sit down there. This is how I feel from your perspective. Is that the truth? Is that what's really going on? Is that,
listen to the classes. You know, you're asking things which we address in many classes. You're oversimplifying it. You're assuming that if you, being male, would talk to your male friend that way, you'd achieve any success that would work with the woman, and it won't. Just listen to the last class or two classes ago. That's not the way it works. Theoretically, you're 100% logical. That's what would work with all of your male friends. But that's not what would work with the wife. Okay, so that brings us back. What did we say? If a person wants to prepare for marriage, he has to work on his being less judgmental. He has to work on not criticizing, even though his criticism is correct and it's not personal. And he has to work on learning how to compliment, learning how to speak positively, be able to see the good in others and compliment. Two things. To see it and compliment it. All the other traits that a person has to work on, so that's okay. That's each person on his own has to figure out, and it's good to talk to a Rebbe or talk to someone who knows you well and think which traits to work on each person on his own and take a good book on character traits. That's all great. But these are three points that most people are not prepared for in marriage, and there are three key points that are going to be the building blocks of marriage.